We get things underway, though, in this second hour by welcoming to the program from the NFL Network, our friend Mike Giardi. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Rich.
Good to have you on with us this afternoon under these strange circumstances and unusual times. Really, it feels like the NBA was the catalyst for this, and once they decided to pull the plug, there went everything else.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it, and it was, you know, I think we were all sitting here waiting for it to happen too, you know, and then once you have the one player, Rudy Gobert, test positive, then it was like, well, what are we doing? And I mean, what are the odds that there are more people associated with the game, be it players, coaches, training staff, what have you, you know, to have some symptoms or to be, to have corona. So they, you know, it just sort of started the steamrolling effect, and I think it made all the sense in the world. Probably wish they had done it sooner, but I think we're finding out here over the last few days that we probably should have done a lot of things sooner than we did with regards to this.
And I think we were talking about it yesterday. We sort of forget that these athletes also have personal lives and families of their own. And then there are all of those people who work in support of teams and who work at the stadiums and the arenas and the ballparks. And a lot of people are impacted by this.
Yeah, massively so. The trickle-down effect is sobering, quite frankly, when you look at it. You've already seen some guys in the NBA, Kevin Love yesterday, Blake Griffin today, you know, putting up $100,000 of their own money for the support staff, you know, for the hourly wage workers that come in and depend on home dates at stadiums, you know, and now that's obviously been shuttered, and God knows how long it's going to be shuttered for. So these are people that depend on that to make their living and support their families and support themselves. So I'm sure that there'll be more people who step up like those two did. You know, and I guess in these times, the people that are prosperous are really going to have to look out for some of the less fortunate people or the people that depend on that stuff from a day-to-day standpoint.
And while it's the offseason for the National Football League, they're being impacted as well, beginning with recruiting. The NCAA announced today that they want to stop all recruiting until April 15th, and so things like pro days, all of those opportunities to see future players are on hold.
Yeah, it is, and it's and I think we're, you know, I think we're just scratching the surface of that too, because, you know, obviously people are putting, I know I was supposed to cover the University of Alabama's pro day, which was scheduled for March 23rd, and they postponed that till April 9th, and, you know, again, you're seeing more and more dates getting pushed back, and then the draft is at the end of April anyway. Why are we even bothering with this at this point? You know, this is when you've invested all this money in scouting, and you've had scouts go across the country and cross-check different players and be involved with it. And I think it's, you know, they have a lot of information. And if this helps keep everybody a little bit safer and a little bit more secure, then, you know, scrap these days and, you know, we'll see at the draft, or we'll do the draft in a different way than have everybody congregated in one area. You know, you have the technology. I know it's a made-for-TV type event, but, you know, if we're trying to stop the spread of this, and if that's something that the scientists and doctors say makes no sense, then we should probably heed their advice.
Do you think there's any consideration being given to delaying the draft a little bit?
Yeah, I think right now they're just more concerned with the start of free agency, and obviously that's right around the corner. The legal tampering period starts on Monday, and I know there are meetings tomorrow, and it's certainly going to be discussed. And as of right now, everything remains on schedule, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, we heard sometime tomorrow or Sunday, hey, you know what, let's tap the brakes on this a little bit. Does it matter if we do this now or we do this 2 weeks from now, you know? You know, from my own personal perspective, obviously I've been wrapped up in the Tom Brady thing, and, you know, there's a large part of me that I think, like a lot of people who are covering the story, want it to be over. We want, you know, let's get on with it. Where are we going? Is he staying? Is he going? But then there's part of me that looks at it and says, boy, you know, it would be a little tone deaf to be sitting there talking on, you know, Wednesday, if, you know, whatever, Brady signs with the Patriots or someone else, and it's $50 million guaranteed, and we're talking about the money, or we're talking about, well, he took this other offer because the Patriots didn't offer him enough. And, you know, when we're talking about a society that's in flux right now because of what's happening with corona and various businesses shutting down, I just saw Patagonia just suspending everything, all operations, no more mail order, nothing. They're a major company that's shutting down, and I'm guessing there's going to be more that sort of falls suit.
So is this an opportunity, Mike, for the National Football League to really, I guess, be a leader in this? And the other leagues are shut down. They have the stage in many ways to themselves. But what would it say if they opted to just delay any of this and tell America and sports fans that let's focus on family and taking care of each other and do all that, and football can come later?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't think it would hurt. I mean, I know the flip side of that argument is because we're all coronavirus all the time right now, that it might be a welcome distraction for people to have that, you know, some of the attention turned to free agency and football. So, I mean, I get the other side of it as well, but I don't think there would be any harm in tapping the brakes on this for a little bit. But again, that's above my pay grade. The owners will make that decision, and we'll adjust accordingly.
Well, we'll opt for the distraction for only a moment here. What do you think is going to happen whenever we settle this situation? I know you've been able to talk it to death in the Boston market as well and on NFL Network, but we still don't seem to know much. What's your gut feeling?
My feeling has been that they've been moving towards a separation for months now. And a lot of unhappiness over the last year, not getting the contract extensions, the multiple years that he wanted. This year, obviously, you could see the level of disappointment in Brady on a weekly basis, whether they were winning or losing. Because he looked at what he had around him, and he wasn't satisfied with that. The interesting thing about this here is the decision to go with the voidable years, and that's what's allowing him to be a free agent at the end of the league year in just a couple of days, is that there's a pretty substantial financial penalty on the Patriots should they not get Brady signed before the end of the 17th, and that's a $13 million and change cap hit that's on their roster, whether he's on their cap next year, whether he's on their roster or not. And obviously, if they get something done before then it's half that. It's 6.5. And then, of course, you can, look at the NFL, you can move money around. But for a team and for a quarterback who said he's put it out there that he needs more weapons around him, to me, if you go beyond the end of the league year and he goes into free agency, and all of a sudden you're looking at that $13 million change on your cap, it's hard to necessarily add all the pieces that you're wanting to add. So if they really do want a reunion, it makes sense to get it done before free agency starts. And otherwise, I think then the odds become slimmer that it happens just because of the financial hit is pretty substantial. I mean, you start looking at, maybe it's just Jared Stidham and a veteran backup group. Maybe they just go two kids and you try to do it that way. I don't know. It's interesting, but I really felt like we've been sort of headed in this direction for some time.
Mike, Chad Finn of the Boston Globe had a wonderful piece recently looking back at 1510 The Zone. I remember when it was on, and you were a part of that. Whenever I traveled to Boston, I couldn't wait to listen. It was such a breath of fresh air. Do you have great memories from that brief experiment in sports radio done right?
It was really interesting because I was ended up because of Sean McDonough's schedule, and then maybe reluctance at the end to even continue to do the show, I ended up hosting his show quite a bit. And as I was joking on Twitter, I think when the story came out, I'd like to thank him for that, because I think I bought really my first nice new car with that money. So I thank Sean for staying away as much as he did, because that was a big benefit for me financially. And personally, it was because, I was young in the business, and the opportunity to host a radio show for 4 hours is not something that I ever thought I would be doing. I was still working at HCN at the time, and it was just a great experience that, lets you sort of refine your voice a little bit. And then when you're doing a half an hour or an hour TV show, boy, it's a piece of cake compared to doing 4 hours on radio. That was neat. And I think the other thing to me was just the people that came through there. And
right.
Obviously, I think that was kind of the highlight of what Chad wrote about. But, I mean, you look at some of those guys, and I became friends with Ryan Russillo and John Anik and Pep and all those guys. And as we know, Ryan and John have become major voices in their in their respective, well, John does the MMA, obviously, but it's pretty amazing to see where they came from and where they are now. And as I was saying in the piece, I don't sound like the old guy, but I'm really proud. I was part of those guys, and we became friends, and I had them on my show at NECN, and it just to see where they are now is really it's great to me, and it's a tribute. The guys, they really worked hard, and they kept knocking down doors, and they are now stars in their respective sports.
Mike, we always enjoy talking with you. Thank you so much for making time for us this afternoon. We wish you well, stay healthy, and we'll check in with you again down the road.
You got it. Take care, Rich.
That's Mike Giardi, NFL Network, with us on Downtown.